Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. It is Super Bowl Sunday, but as you're listening, it is Monday to kick off the new week. And what a fucking week it was for the Rangers. I think they won all four games that they played last week against Calgary, Vancouver, Seattle, and Carolina to top it off. It was a lot of fun. Yep. If you listen to our episode on Friday, we talked about Vladimir Tarasenko, so we're not going to talk about the trade too much today. But this is a jam-packed episode, topping it off with an interview with Scotty Gomez, fucking legend. We had a great time talking to him for over an hour. So many laughs. But before we do anything more, I do want to introduce my co-host, Cody Frankel. Cody, what's going on, dude? How was your weekend?
Introduce me, baby. It was good, man. You said I want to introduce my co-host. Like people don't like what? Just say I want to kick it to my co-host, you weirdo.
Well, if someone's listening for the first time, they don't know you. Or me, I guess, for that matter.
Buddy. Okay. All right. Keep doing it. All right. Anyways. So Johnny's dying over there. Nobody really knows why. You kill me back. I'm pumped for the Super Bowl today. As we're recording, it's Sunday. Big game tonight. Got some money on both teams. A little hedge. So we'll see how that goes. But anyways, what are you giggling at?
I don't know. You're so like goofy. I love you.
You're not goofy, dude. You look like you came straight out of Eight Crazy Nights, bro. Your hair is okay. Forget it.
Yeah, my hair is all
like you're acting like your hair is normal right now, but it's not, just so you know. Anyways, fuck off. But now the weekend was really good so far, just pretty chill, pretty low key. But you know what's so weird? Dude, this weather has been wild this weekend. It's going from 20 degrees to 56 degrees to 25 degrees to today, 34 degrees. Yesterday was beautiful out, a little cold, but beautiful. It's just so inconsistent. But you know what's so consistent? Allbirds. Allbirds Merino Wool Runners are freaking awesome. I have them. I actually have maybe three pairs. I've been on Allbirds for quite some time right now. Maybe like 4 or 5 years already. And
you got me on them.
Yeah, I did get you on them. And the wool runners are so comfortable. They're odorless, which is awesome. So you can literally wear them without socks if you want to. And just, you know, they're pretty much for like any occasion, whether you're doing date night, whether you're going out with the boys or girls, whether you're just chilling and lounging on your couch. They are so comfortable. The quality on them is unbelievable. And on top of that, they're machine washable, which is huge. But yeah, I mean, there is honestly nothing to me as comfortable as Allbirds shoes, especially the Wool Runners, which are, I think, pretty much their bread and butter product. They're just unbelievable, honestly. And you can now get a discounted pair of free socks. So actually not even discounted, but a pair of free socks with a purchase over $100. Use our code BlueCrew-Socks, all lowercase, BlueCrew-Socks. All lowercase, and discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com. Let's go Allbirds, baby.
I got the white pair, the all white pair, and I wore them to the office on Wednesday. And like literally within 5 minutes, I spilled my coffee on my shoes. So I was like in the kitchen, like cleaning off my shoes to kick off the workday.
Lucky for you, you could throw those right in the wash and get them cleaned up.
Yeah. But no, I seriously do want to thank you also for hooking me on them, because Allbirds, they are super comfortable. I already have two pairs.
I'm wearing their socks. But yeah, back right to some. Now,
you are?
Yeah, they're so comfortable.
Good flexibility. Let's get into some Rangers talk. I actually want to kick it off, first off, by giving a shout out to Yaroslav Halak, man. 7 straight wins for a backup goalie. Only backup to ever do that in Rangers history. Halak's on fire. And honestly, he played so well in that first period because the Rangers were outplayed heavily in the first period. Like, luckily for that power play goal from Zibanejad that got them going, but it was all Carolina, I thought, to kick things off. And rightfully so, the Rangers were playing the second night of a back-to-back, third game in 4 days. Carolina had 10 days of rest, but Halak really stood on his head, I thought, in the first 20 minutes and helped this team get a win last night in Carolina.
Yeah, he was unreal. And I also want to give you some snaps because you did call that it was going to be 2-2 Halak-Igor split this week. And that's what they went with. So that,
and for anyone who listened on Friday, I said Rangers money line Saturday, rest versus rust. Carolina hadn't played in 10 days. Rangers feeling pretty good.
Showed it. I mean, can we just take a pause and talk about Artemi Panarin for a second?
Yeah, that was sick.
Because, like, four goals? Are you kidding me? I mean, we haven't seen that since the Mika 5-gamer. And honestly, you know, people have given Panarin a lot of flack for not shooting the puck because he's such a, you know, high IQ player, such a pass-first guy. Dude, when he shoots the puck, man, it's just like what he can do with it. His wrist shot is so fast, like the snapshot and just
his first goal was a snipe.
It was snipe. And I mean, the crazy thing about him is, like, if he wanted to, he could probably be a 40 goal a year player. Honestly, I think, like, he could be a 40 goal a year player, but he kind of, you know, wants to get those 70, 80 assists and would be okay with 20 goals if it means team wins. And, like, I appreciate that. And, you know, that's why he's one of my favorite athletes. And I just love what this guy does and, like, what he brings. And he brings such a fun energy to the team too. So, you know, good on him. I'm pumped for him. That was awesome to see. And then, you know, obviously I was closer than you this week in our predictions because you said we'd go 2-2 like you always do. And I said 3-1, so suck it. But anyways, you know, I think that this team is taking it to another level with Tarasenko. Like, even if Tarasenko, I know he scored a goal, which was awesome, in his first, like, 2 minutes as a Ranger, but even in a game like last night where he had 0 points, you can just feel the energy and the vibe of this team has shifted. And you could see that now they're ready to go. And, you know, we talked like a week ago that does anybody scare you besides, like, Carolina and Boston? Like, we just dummied Carolina for the second time this year. I can't say they're a better team than us. You know, they could beat up on other teams and have more points than us, but I can't say they're a better team than us.
I think, to be fair, and, you know, I'm always the harsh critic, I think, right? Like, that's just how our dynamic works. You could say we dummied them. Sure, it was 6-2. Great win. I don't think for 60 minutes that the Rangers were the better team. Backup. Yeah, but I don't think for 60 minutes the Rangers were the better team. I do think...
I would say Halak for 50.
Halak played really well, and the power play scored. I think everything... You know, listen, I'm not discrediting the Rangers, but I still think you there are. Is another level to get to, you know?
Okay. Well, here's the thing.
But also, third game in four nights, second night of a back-to-back.
Yes. And also, we outplayed them in the first, no question about it. In the second, they probably...
No, they outplayed us in the first.
I disagree.
Carolina dominated us in the first period.
Okay, in terms of shot possession, yeah, okay, I guess so, fine. But...
Dude, the first 5 minutes, they were buzzing.
Okay, that's fine. But what I was going to say was like the second period, I think they outplayed us slightly to begin. And obviously they were winning 2-1 for like the first 15 minutes of that second period. And I think that Panarin goal that originally some people thought it was like Mika or something, I don't know. But that Panarin goal, I think, set the tone for the game and kind of shifted the dynamics. So, like, even if they did outplay us in the first, like, whatever, I think from the last like 5 minutes and the last 20 minutes, like, Halak played good enough to keep us in the game and we weren't playing bad. So we played like well enough to keep us right there and toe to toe with them, which gave us that shift when Panarin scored that, I guess that was his first goal of four. Yeah. So he scored that goal. And then, dude, in the third, it was just off to the races. Yeah. I mean, what also props to Gallant, because I'm sure Gallant like fired them up at second intermission. Cause whatever he did, I mean, they came out in that third. Too. Yeah. I mean, they came out in that third, just going off.
Also want to shout out the Ranger fans that showed up in North Carolina. I mean, this picture is just insane. Look at this. Like, the Ranger fans were loud, man. That was awesome.
Ranger South, man.
I don't know if we want to talk too much further about everything. I know we talked a lot on Friday after the Tarasenko trade happened. Or
I
Thursday,
think we should talk,
Thursday.
Yeah, I think we should talk a little bit about some of our guys really heating up. I think Filip Hedl, what he's doing, obviously is unbelievable. But, you know, a couple other guys I really want to, like, shine the light on here who have just been elevating their game in every aspect the last 10 games or so. Trocheck, Lafreniere, and Kako, man. These kids and then Trocheck, dude, they have been playing phenomenal the last 10 games or so. I think Lafreniere maybe has like 8 points in 10 games or 7 points. Kako's got to be around the same. And then Trocheck, 7 points in his last 5 games. I mean, dude, They're heating up at the right time for us. They're finally coming in like together, and we got a deep lineup now. And I'm curious to see if this is the squad we're going to battle with, or maybe there's like one more tweak coming.
So in their last 10 games, I'll just read off some stats here. Mm-hmm. Vincent Trocheck, 2 goals, 6 assists. Alexi Lafreniere, 3 goals, 5 assists. Filip Hedl, 7 goals, 4 assists. Capo Caco, 2 goals, 8 assists. But also shout out to Mika as well. Mika's got 8 goals and 2 assists in his last 10 games.
Yeah, that's crazy. Caco's 10 points in his last 10 games. That's beast.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally beast. It is. It's going to be fun to watch this team for the rest of the year. And I told you last week, man, but something about this team, man, I feel the dynamic has shifted, and I feel the vibe change. And like, I can't see them losing in 7 games with Igor to anyone. I mean, you want to argue Boston, fine, but dude, Boston's 6 games up on us. At one point, they were like 14 games up on us. They're 6 games up on us. Okay.
And guess what?
I need to say something actually, because yeah. over the last 25 games, the Rangers are 19-4-2, and Boston over the last 25 games, I believe, are like 18-6-1 or something like that. So we have they're very good, but we have a better record than them over the last 25 games, and that's something very important to keep of note, because really just shows the first quarter of the season, what they did was unprecedented, and they went like 19-4, like 20-4, or whatever it was, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the Rangers are on a 5-game heater right now as they head to the West Coast for this very important 3-game West Coast road trip, which should be a lot of fun. We'll talk about that at the end of the episode. Do you want to go into fan questions now?
Yeah.
Let's kick it off. We got 5 questions this week, and the first one is a good one from CJW_011. Were you surprised with Kane's comments about his disappointment not being the one? And absolutely. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the comment, I'll put it up right here. This is what Patrick Kane said after Tarasenko was traded to the Rangers. If things were going to happen, that was a team I was definitely looking at. It seems like they kind of filled their void and went ahead and made a deal. So it is what it is.
Absolutely. Weren't you? Like, when's the last time you've heard of a superstar actively complaining that another team made a trade that wasn't for him? It's pretty unheard of, honestly.
Yeah, no, I love it though. I mean, everyone who's questioning if Kane's going to stay in Chicago, I think it's clear now that he wants out, right? Like, he basically put that out in the open that he's not trying to stay there, unless the Rangers were the only team he wanted to go to.
That's what I was going to say. What if there's only like 2 or 3 teams that he's willing to make the move to? And, you know, if there is only 2 teams, now one team's off the list. So
yeah.
What if the other team doesn't want you? Then he's going to be stuck in Chicago for the rest of his days. So
I think it'd be cool to see him go to Jersey and play with Jack Hughes. That'd be a lot of fun to watch. Not good for us, I guess, but fun to watch.
Actually, it might be good for us because he might like be out for the season like 2 weeks in. Who knows? So
true. All right, well, let's go to the next one from Pete Maloney. Do y'all think Tarasenko takes a pay cut and stays with the Rangers after this season?
I would love that. This specific instance reminds me a little of the Bruins trading for Hampus Lindholm. You know, Lindholm was on his expiring deal, and he basically said he was going to go to market and played with the Bruins and really liked the chemistry that the team had, and they locked him up long term. They didn't have much money either, and they found a way to lock him up long term. And I think, you know, with players of this caliber, it really, really depends how he does these next 30 games and in playoffs, because I know I just brought it to the Hampus Lindholm trade, but another trade that comes to mind for me when you're trading with for this type of player is the Eric Staal trade from a couple of years ago, where he came to us. He came to us and he didn't do shit, and we didn't re-sign him. We just let him go, and then the next year he had like 40 goals for the Wild. He clearly wasn't made to play in New York. So I think Tarasenko is absolutely built for New York. But to answer your question, I don't know. I think they're crazy tight as it is against the cap. And I mean, Drury's going to have to literally work his magic wand and figure something out and get somebody to move, because I don't know what else they can do. What do you think, John?
I was going to say that I don't see – I think we talked about it Thursday as well. I don't see Tarasenko necessarily taking a pay cut, but I could see one of those younger kids like taking a two-year kind of pay cut to stay here. Because listen, Tarasenko's in the back end of his career, and I think he's going to want all the money he can get as he, you know, comes closer to retirement. Whereas the kids, you know, like Hedl, Miller, and, you know, Lafreniere, Kako. Well, Kako's on the bridge already. Hedl, Lafreniere, and Miller, you know, they're in their contract years, and maybe they could take a two-year deal with a small pay cut to stay in New York and try to win a cup right now while this team, you know, is right in that brink of being a Stanley Cup contender. Or, you know, if you consider them a contender right now, which I actually am at that point almost where they are, to me, a top five team in the league.
Just fucking die.
I'd say they're a top five team in the league if they're playing the way they are right now.
This fucking goofy haired motherfucker.
But you know what I mean? I think those three are more likely to take a cut right now while they're young in their career than a guy like Tarasenko would.
I disagree with you. And the reason I'm going to say that is Tarasenko's coming off an 8-year, $60 million contract. He's made his money. He's made really good money. He's not going to get that type of deal again. Like at most a team will give him 3 or 4 years. I truly believe because he is injury prone. Why not take another shot to win another cup? I think, you know, great players win multiple cups. I think he wants another one. He's excited to be here. One of his like three closest NHL friends is on the Rangers in Panarin, and they're together.
All the videos of them are so cute.
Yeah. I mean, if he loves it here, what's to say he wouldn't take, you know, I don't know, a 3-year five per deal or 3-5-5, like whatever, you know, I think if Drury gets ahead of this and talks to him and has honest and candid conversations with him saying like, listen, we love you here. We understand you're going to have to do what you got to do, but we would love to have you back. Like you never know. You never know. Yeah.
Let's go into the next one. Puck Talk CS _ podcast. Shout out to those guys, good friends of the show. All right, for real. Kravtsov, a Ranger after the deadline, done with his whole script.
He's gone, man. I would bet my friendship with Johnny that he's gone.
I agree. I think Jones will be gone also.
Really?
Yeah.
The reason I don't think Jones will be gone is because what are you trading him for? Like unless they're trading for, we've mentioned this guy a bunch, but someone like Tanner Janot or something like Tyler Mott's not going to get Zach Jones in return. You know what I mean? Like I just don't see what the value would be. Cause Jones is still a guy with high upside. But yeah, maybe you're right. But I do actually want to jump back to a few weeks and say, eat it, because I told you Othman was going nowhere.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Respect. All right. Yeah, I think Kravtsov's gone also. Let's go into the next one. This is a little more of a fun one. Drums all day, 757. What's your typical order from Starbucks?
Johnny's typical order from Starbucks is a latte with almond milk and vanilla because he's.
We talked about this yesterday, right? Yeah. That is my order.
Mine's either just an iced coffee with almond milk or an iced latte with almond milk, one or the other.
Yeah, I need the.
But I actually don't love Starbucks lattes, believe it or not. Oh, you know what I like from Starbucks a lot? The hot cafe mistos, which is like hot coffee. It's just hot coffee, and you get either whatever type of milk you get, and they steam it on top and like foam it in. It's good.
Pretty good. I'm just, you know, I stick to my latte pretty much. I don't really change it up.
You're basic. I got you.
And the last one, and this is a funny one. Tyler Palumbo. Do you guys hate each other?
No, we love each other.
It also, like, so I love Cody, but it's so much fun to hate him.
and likewise, like I'm sitting here, I'm looking at Johnny's hair and I just want to rip it out, but I can't.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
So, you know, it's like, but actually, no,
like, I'm tearing up. Like I'm laughing my ass off right now.
Yeah. I just make him laugh a lot. You know what I mean? It's his, he takes too many CBD gummies and then just can't stop with the giggles. But, no, we don't hate each other.
I didn't take any. Pure joy. But I think maybe one day we'll post some screenshots from our group chat with Alex and AJ on Twitter or something. A lot of good laughs every day in that group chat with Alex and AJ Castiglia. Some of you guys may know them, the Blue York crew. But yeah, I think that wraps up this week for fan questions. Before we go into our interview with Scotty Gomez, I want to talk to you guys about Magic Mind. So for the last couple weeks, Cody and I have been using Magic Mind just to get us through the day a little bit. Like we talked about our Starbucks order. Not every day you want to buy a $9 coffee in New York. So it's great to have something like Magic Mind, a little shot of matcha to get you going in the day. You know, I typically replace it with my coffee on a Tuesday or Wednesday when I'm in the office, or Thursday sometimes, because for me, I like to save the money and I like to have that little burst of energy, and it allows me to focus on my task at hand throughout the day. So if you want to drink Magic Mind just like Cody and I, go to www.magicmind.co/bluecrew. That's www.magicmind.co/bluecrew, and use our code bluecrew to get your own Magic Mind, and they are giving 56% off over the next 10 days. So go get your Magic Mind shot right now if you are looking for something to replace your coffee with and to get that caffeine boost. Go to Magic Mind. There's nothing better. And with that, we're going to kick it over to Scotty Gomez. Hope you guys enjoy this interview. This week on the Blue Crew, we're really happy to welcome on a new friend of ours, even though I think we might have gotten off on the wrong foot.
Is this live? Is this live? People can see
this. This is live. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Can I cuss?
What do you got?
No, can I cuss or?
Yeah, say where the fuck you want.
Well, no. Go with your weak speech again. I didn't know that. Yeah,
I love it. Okay, well, I was about to compliment you. A two-time Stanley Cup winner, Calder Trophy winner, New York Ranger from 2007, 2009, number 19, but we liked him better as 23, I guess. Scotty Gomez, Scotty.
And I'll explain that later, but, well, you know, go ahead. What happened in 19?
I'm sure we'll get into that, but I don't want to start with hockey. I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. He's on tour right now. I know you're a Springsteen guy now as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, tell the story. Do you want me to tell the story how it happened?
Well, I want to ask if you're going to any show on the tour right now.
I just saw he played in Orlando. So it's like, for anyone, any chance you can see that guy, you got to go. Whether you're a fan or not, it really is. It's like going to a live hockey game. Once you go there, you're fantasized by it. It's unreal.
Well, I just want to follow up. I know you told that story a couple years ago on Chiclets. I don't want to make you repeat the story.
No.
But can you talk about
it? I haven't told it on your show, so what the fuck?
All right, yeah, go for it. Rip it.
Well, ask the question, then I'll, you know.
So, Scotty, how did you become a Bruce Springsteen fan?
We're in Jersey about 9 weeks early before camp. I don't even know if that was legal back then. But it's basically the guys that they thought were going to, or Lou, you know, they thought they had a chance kind of to make it, let's say. And the only reason why I say that is because if you look at the group, and it started, Slava Vatisov was the assistant coach, and Slava brought in Vladimir Bure, Pavel Bure's dad. And so I got put in that group, and then it started with seven of us, I believe, maybe eight, but at the end there was only four of us that lasted. Like Shelton Surrey had already played in the league. I forgot who, Dennis Peterson. They dropped out because the guys like me, Colin White, it was Sergey Brelin, Vladimir Sharonov, and Pierre Dagenet. And we had no say. Like, it's all minor league guys, and it's us that come in. So the minor league guys work out at 7 to, like, 8 or 9, and they're done. And our day just started. It was 7 in the morning. You go run at the track or on a field. You go run from 7 to about 10. Afterwards, you play tennis. And then, yeah, because Vladdy, tennis was important to him. And plus, he loved tennis.
Good workout. So yeah.
I think he brought that in. It wasn't fair because it's something you had to do. So we had to play tennis, and then we all eat lunch together at Angelo's right next to the Turtle Brook Inn. You got 2 hours to sleep, and then you had to go back to the gym from – I think it was like 3 to 6, 3 to 5. That's Monday through Wednesday. Wednesday was track day, and then you got a sauna day. But we worked out till Saturday. So 6 days a week. I'm coming from juniors.
Yeah.
I've never worked.
Not in the best shape.
Well, it's not even that. I'm there 9 weeks early and I'm 19. So you get in shape about a week. Yeah. But it still was like the hardest thing we've ever done in our lives. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't even explain it. Like, and we got this crazy Russian. And the best part was, it took a while. We couldn't understand Vladdy. We did 6200s, and everything's timed. Afterwards, it starts to 30 seconds, and then it goes down to 5 seconds where you get a rest. You get a rest, but you're always checking your pulse. And then we didn't understand Vladdy, so we just thought, all right, 60. That's pretty bad itself.
Yeah.
And then after 60, we'd have another 60. But we didn't understand Vladdy, so we thought we were done after that. So anyway, Saturday we only had a morning thing. It was the greatest day of your life when you're done Saturday, because we had Sundays off. But so that Saturday, one of the Saturdays, I found this bar that I could get into. So me and Whitey were gonna go to this bar. And, you know, we plan our day. Like I said, we only got how many hours till Monday comes around. But I get a call, and me and Whitey I always remember this. We got a case of Coors Light. We're having beers. And it sounds bad, but we're having beers in the afternoon, just going. I mean, and I get a call, and it's Lou's assistant, Marie. She's the best, but at the time you don't know her. And this is how Lou would get on the phone. The secretary would call and say, "Hey, Scotty, how you doing? Hey, how's it going?" Lou's on the phone. Bang, put him on right there. You didn't even get a second to like whatever. Oh, else.
Yeah.
And so Lou goes, "Scotty, what are you doing? What are you and Colin doing?" And I said, "Oh, nothing. We just got done working out." He goes, "What do you have tonight?" And I said, like I said, I was 19. I finally got into this bar from, you know, and I said, we got this charity event we're going to tonight. some person's got charity event we're going to go to, you know, we're going to that tonight, thinking that, you know, I had no idea how Lou works. And he goes,
"It'll get you out of whatever he had in mind."
Yeah. And once you say charity to most human beings, it's, "Oh, he's got a charity event." And Lou goes, he goes, "Change of plans. You're going to go to the Bruce Springsteen concert tonight." And I'm like, fucking Whitey's right there. He's like, What is he saying? I'm like, you know, back then people don't know there was phones. And I'm cupping the phone and I'm like, "We have to go to a fucking Bruce Springsteen concert or something." And Whitey's like, "What?" And I'm like, so anyway, and Lou, and I'm like, "Well, this charity, you know, this charity event's a pretty big deal." And Lou's like I said, I didn't know how Lou kind of worked. And he goes, "You're going to the Bruce Springsteen concert." And he goes, "You're going to get there early." And he goes, There's one thing I want you to watch. I want you to watch his work ethic." And I'm like, at this point in time, you know, I listen to all kinds of music, but I wasn't a Bruce guy, and I'm, you know, Bruce fucking Springsteen, that's the last thing I want to do is go see that guy.
Yeah.
And anyway, he goes, "No, the tickets will be there. You're going." So me and Whitey, we must have polished off, you know, that case of beer, whatever. We got we're scared of Lou, so you got to go there early. We're there early. And guys, when I tell you, you know, I'm new to the area. I'm new to all this. I don't like, so you guys probably grew up in big cities, whatever. And like the whole Continental is packed. And it's like, let's say the concert starts at 8 or whatever. We're there like 6. And I mean, we're talking the whole parking lot, the Continental is packed. Tailgating, we're just, you know, so anyway, we finally get in, we snuck a couple beers, wherever we go into this show, and I see my old World Juniors coach, Rob Mancini. I go up to him and say hi to him. I'm like, hey coach, what's up? And he's like, what are you doing here? Like, and I told him, and I was kind of like embarrassed that I was here, and I'm like, well, you know, Lou's making us come here. And he goes, you know, he's a Jersey guy, and he's like, you haven't seen the boss? And I'm like, no. And he goes, Gomer, this show is going to change your life. And I'm like, yeah, kiss my ass. You know, I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
And me and Colin White for the next 3 hours were literally just Bruce,
jamming.
Bruce. Yeah. And it was, and I remember, and now you look back, it's kind of funny. Like, that's when the E Street Band, they hadn't been together in 20 years, 1999. It's their reunion. I had no clue, whatever. And yeah, I remember after that, it was like, I call Lou and I'm like, and the one thing I give you that is, you know, watch his work ethic. We're at a concert, we're banged up, but
yeah,
you did actually watch this guy for 3 hours. Like, holy shit, this guy goes. And I remember asking him, you know, Lou, that was so great. Can I go see him again? So he got me tickets again. And I think I asked for tickets for like 4 shows in a row, but I think I only got 2. And he's like, you're not going to get like. So yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I became a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. I'm one of my best friends, Bobby Halyk. He's good friends with Max Weinberg. We got to meet Max Weinberg after. And, yeah, cool. I've always. Yeah, I don't know how many times I've seen Bruce Springsteen since, but it was. Yeah, Lou was right. So it was. Yeah, so we'll never forget that because we were at the Turtlebrook Inn. And the last thing I'd ever think I'd ever do is go to a Bruce Springsteen concert, and it happened, and yeah, it was great.
Once you commit to the boss, that's you awesome. Can't go back, you know.
And it's funny because once I made it, I made the team and all that. And now you're going, you know, you're hanging out, you're going to, you're getting into bars and all that now and stuff. But it was funny, like you do learn, like when the jukebox. Was Bruce Springsteen or Bon Jovi. Everyone knows nuts. The words. Everyone knows the songs.
Yeah.
It was Jersey Pride. And yeah, I mean, it's funny because you it's like anything in life, you pass it on where, you know, you'll tell someone like, hey, if you get a chance to go see Bruce Springsteen, you got to go see him. And I'm happy for it.
Definitely. So, all right, transitioning to hockey a little bit further, like you're one of – you know, you're one of the rare guys who not only played for the Rangers and Devils, but was also beloved by both fan bases. So what was it like playing for both teams? And like, how different was it, you know, playing in Jersey and then obviously playing in the city?
First and foremost, like, you know, I grew up in Alaska. I was always, you know, you guys are way younger, but like the show Friends was a phenomenal
yeah. classic.
Like it was like literally.
You strike me as a Chandler like, guy.
No, I'm probably not Chandler. No,
Joey, dude, what?
Joey. No, it was more like just anything. Like Thursday nights, it just that was the thing. Like I remember being on the road, and my billets, the people I lived with, she, Linda Russell, had one job. It was like you have to record Friends. It wasn't like you got to stream now or see it later in the internet. So that's how big this thing was, Friends, and but. For some odd reason, like all those shows that were in New York, I was always infatuated with New York City. I was like, I want to be there one day. I got to get there one day. I get drafted by the Devils close enough. And yeah, I mean, I got the opportunity to go to New York and I took it. I didn't realize, I don't know if you realize or really care because when I made it and got to be with all these guys, it was, you know, it's a business. It's once you get in there, you think that loyalty is family. These guys are going to no, it's about you're going to get paid. You're going to get it's money. It's money.
Right.
It's the way it is. And so, yeah, when I got the opportunity, there was only one place I ever wanted to play. And especially being in Jersey, you know, getting to play in the Garden. That's I wanted to go there. I wanted to do it. I didn't realize how maybe I was naive or. Like I said, I grew up with some pretty strong vets that it wasn't as big a deal to me where, you know, going over to the Rangers. Yeah, I pissed a lot of people off. And it sucks. I was actually telling the story the other day where there was a couple of close friends of mine on the Devils that they were fucking butthurt about it. Like they couldn't believe I signed with the Rangers where my whole mentality when I walked in from what the vets taught me is this is business. You get one shot at this. This is your one shot. You know, whether it's New York or, and so, yeah, there was a lot of people that, you know, got mad at me later on. Do I go there? Who knows? I never regret anything, but at the same time, I didn't realize how offended other people were that I did sign with the New York Rangers. Cause you know, hey, it was the greatest times in Jersey. It's still the greatest times I ever had just playing for the New Jersey Devils. But, you know, I still live in the area. I still, you know, see people and it's still a thing. Like the Ranger fans, they love you. And there's still some Jersey fans that they got over it finally. But, but yeah, it was a big deal. I didn't realize it, but hey, at the end of the day, it's what happened.
And sure as shit, obviously your first year at the Rangers, you end up playing the Devils in the playoffs. I'm sure that kind of escalated everything too.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. I remember any athlete can say that's who they want to play. That's who they want to play. They're lying. They're full of shit. The last team I wanted to play was the Devils just because once the playoff starts, it's a different world. It's a different mindset. You don't need no distractions. But as the season was winding down, it was like, oh, shit, we're going to face these guys. Yeah, it was. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was like, oh man. And yeah, when it happened, it was. I think back then, I don't know if we played each other six or seven, eight, maybe eight times or whatever. So it kind of got. But I remember the first time I played against New Jersey, and we're at the Garden. And I mean, these are all the guys I grew up with. These are all the guys. And, you know, there was, like I said, it's also, you do find out who's your real friend, who's not. And we've all made up. It's not a big deal now, but back then there was guys that were actually mad about that. And then there was other guys that were completely happy for me. Like, this is what we play for, to go to free agency. But I didn't realize I offended so many people. Let's put it that way.
You know, to that point too, I want to touch on the free agency day also, because I think it's changed a lot now also, right? Like, guys are starting to manipulate themselves into, you know, different situations, and players are speaking up about leaving certain teams now, where I feel like that wasn't a thing, you know, kind of in your day, right? Like, you waited till free agency and that's when you started like talking to teams. But on your July 1st day, can you talk about that process? Like, were you talking to anyone before?
Did you have
any ideas? Like,
but you got to remember also, like, we grew up in a different world from the NHL. Mm-hmm. And when I say a different world, we grew up with Lou Lamoriello. The whole back then was money and what you're getting. And you go to arbitration. I don't want to say it like that, but you know, I screwed a lot of guys.
So
rookie of the year, my numbers, everything, were the last two rookie of the years were Samsonov and Drury. And I had better numbers than them, but they got 1.4, 1.3 million automatically. So now I'm up after my 3 years, and you know, the Devils want to pay me like 900. And it was like, no, this is the standard. Yeah, this is that. And I ended up signing for like 1.1. I am one of those guys from the Devils that is proud to say that I did held out. I held out for 2 days. and back then, Lou, you don't hold out. Hold out. He either and people forget that there was rules where you had no say until you got to arbitration. And arbitration, I think, was like 4 years or 5 years. So you were stuck. And Lou, you know, that's why it makes him one of the best. He used that. Like, it was no, there was no, there was no end ground. I mean, but I'm standing up for myself. Hey, I want this. This is what I deserve. We came to agreement. It was 1-1. I had to say, but for the future guys that were going to win the rookie of the year, I would have screwed them the fact that my numbers were pretty good. Well, you can't get paid higher than him, but just because of the fact I was with the New Jersey Devils, I always got a slide from that. Anyone that came from the Devils, you got a slide from that. We're like, cause no other team, no other agent could be like, well, no, once you're with the Devils, it's like, you're in a different world. We had a lockout the year before, and people forget that free agency was 31 years old. I was 26, and it's crazy to think about now, like 31. I mean, that's, you got to play a long time. You got to get your freedom. And we had a lockout the year we didn't play. And there's like four of us. I can't remember who the other guys are, but it ended up being like the greatest thing ever. Because I went to arbitration. I wanted 5.5. The Devils said I was worth 3.5. And I ended up getting 5. But we didn't play that year. But free agency went down to 27. I was 26. So I had 1 year. I had 1 year left with the Devils. I was going to be a free agent. And everyone assumed it was just the Rangers. No, it was the money. Actually, there was probably more money with Philly. It came down to Philly, LA, and Montreal and the Rangers. But that's basically how it happened. And I remember the other teams called. My mind was kind of set. It was basically boiled down to those. It was LA and New York and probably Philly. And we set camp. We set base in Chicago, and me and my money guy, my agent. And yeah, when it happened, it happened. And it was like, there it is. Here we go.
Yeah,
but I did call.
I want to know how you celebrated that.
I did call Lou. Well, I don't remember that night. Let's put it that way. But I did call Lou, you know, told him. And the main thing about it was I went through arbitration with him twice. The second time I went through arbitration, a lot of guys took arbitration personal because my first time going through arbitration with him, I think teams got like an hour and a half, let's say, of they got to talk. I mean, think about how long that is. We're an hour and a half. You get to hear that you're basically a piece of shit compared to what they're comparing you to. And then you get to talk. And guys took that personal where I, just the way I was raised by the vets, it was business. And the second arbitration we went through, said to Lou, if you give me the, if you give me 5-5 for 2 years, I'll give up 1 year free agent. It's whatever. No. And I said, if we go in this room, you know, my dad was my agent at the time. If we go in this room, there's no negotiation during the year. Like, I'm going to test free agent market because if less, you know, I'll give you another year anyway. And they changed the rules. So my second time going through arbitration was like, you got 30 minutes, which made more sense. But and me and Lou ended up in the bathroom taking a piss next to each other when it's all done. And Lou was like, this is the bad part of business. And I'm like, I'm kind of a little mad, you know, what they're still comparing me about, whatever. And he goes, how are you getting home? And I said, it's Saturday. I'll never forget this. And he goes, how are you getting home? I said, well, my flight's tomorrow. You know, I'm going back to Jersey. I think training camp's coming up. So all the boys are back. In Jersey. And Lou's like, you want to fly home tonight? You know, you want to go on the jet? You want to go on the private jet tonight? And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, because, you know, Pando and all the guys are going out in New York. And I was like, yeah. By the time, we'll get home by like 6 or 7. I was like, yeah. So that's always hard for people to understand is like, that's how business and how much respect we had for each other were.
Right.
Yeah. I flew home with Lou after our arbitration thing. Got dropped off at Teterboro. I was in New York City with the boys in about a couple hours. But yeah, I mean, so that's Lou taught us that. He taught us the business of it. And that's one thing I always thank the guy. Like, even when I signed with the Rangers, he wasn't mad. He understood that, hey, this is, you know, it's business. You taught us this. And yeah, that's one thing. That's what makes him one of the best.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I know you were only on the Rangers for a couple of years, but you must have had some crazy nights in the city. Even in Jersey, you know, you must have had some crazy nights in the city as well. So can you maybe tell us about like one untold story of some crazy night you had?
I'll put it this way. We'll start with New York City.
Without screwing anyone.
That's fair.
That's the thing though. Yeah. I don't even know you little pricks. I would never sewer a hockey guy to the day. Yeah. Even if I told you a story, I probably wouldn't give it the name, but all right. So I make the team in New Jersey and I'm hanging out with Lyle Oderline, Randy McKay, great vets, but I'm at a bar with these guys in Jersey and they're playing Golden Tee. And meanwhile, Jay Pandolfo, Shelton Surrey, Jason Arnott, I forgot who else was in the group. Like all the young guys are going to, you know, I'm four or five years younger than them, but they're hanging out in New York City. Finally make the team, but I'm hanging out with these guys because I thought, and it was, if the more these guys get to know me off the ice, they're going to help me on the ice because they're going to know my personality. I was kind of loosey-goosey. I mean, hockey was fun. I wasn't one of those guys that sat in the locker room. Like, I had to be joking around. I had to be.
Right.
But as soon as we stepped on the ice, it's the same thing. So we get my first game, get to Atlanta. And now all the older guys, you know, I'm going to go out for an NHL dinner. And that's, you're going to the best restaurants. Wine is out, steaks. I mean, it's, you know, I'm just coming from juniors. So it's like, holy, you know, and Jay Pandolfo grabs me and he says, hey, we got to talk. And I said, what's up? And he goes, all right, hey, you're starting to get a rep that you're, you know, you're a booze guy. And I'm hanging out with the older guys. They're the ones that invited me. And he goes, you know, for now on, you're coming with us. And I'm like, fuck, I've been waiting for this moment. I've been waiting for this moment. You know, I've been waiting for this moment. Like, do you think I want to hang out in a Jersey bar, none against Jersey or some little Jersey bar? Or do you think I want to be in New York City?
Yeah.
And once they said that, so I forget, it was like a Saturday game. We get home. It's a Saturday game after a road game. We get home. It's like my second game in the NHL, and I'm going out with the boys now. I'm going to mm-hmm. New York City. And
the adult table.
Randy and Odie were like, hey kid, let's go. We're going here. And I never forget this. And Randy McKay is like a brother to me. He's like mm-hmm. a vet. And I remember going to Randy and I'm like, bye. Bye. I'm like, I will never fucking go with you guys again. I'm with these guys now. And they just gave me shit. But so we get home. There's a day game. And we get home. And we're all going to meet at Shelton Surrey's house. Well, my phone might die. I don't want that.
No, you're good. Yeah. Good awareness.
Well, I know. I'm good. I hope this. All right. There we go. It's plugged in. So the guys go, all right, we're meeting at Shelton Surrey's house. And the limo's picking us up at whatever time. And they're like, you got to dress up. And I'm like, yeah, of course. You know, I'm going to New York City. You bet. And I showed up at Shelton Surrey's house and they all looked at me like, are you fucking kidding me? And I'm like, what? They're like, we thought we told you to dress up. And I'm like, I'll never forget this. Yeah. I had a Ralph Lauren polo shirt that was red that had a yellow stripe across it. I got the bluest jeans ever. And I got Doc Martens. Cause in juniors, that was dressed up. And these guys looked at me and they were like, what the fuck? And I'm like, well, what? You guys told me to dress up. I thought I was dressed up. Thank God Pando lived, and he's about six foot six one, whatever. But before you know it, I'm wearing all black. I'm wearing Jay stuff. Like, so that was another life lesson. Mm-hmm. And then we went to New York City and Shelton Surrey, thank God for him. We were so dialed in. He was so dialed into the city where there used to be a place called Life. And we're talking like my first night out in the city. You know, we got our own table, we had our own booth, and I'll never forget, on the right, Lenny Kravitz is like right there. Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio's right there, and I'm just like, what? what the fuck? Like, holy, like, you know what I mean? And that was my first night. So we were dialed in with the city because of Shelly. And even when Shelly got traded, we still knew all the people. We still, and it's like anything. Yeah, if you're a good guy, you take care of people, they're gonna, and we didn't care. Like, it wasn't like our table or our booth had to be in the front. We're hockey players. Just get us in. We'll take care of the rest. And then, so that's how it was with New Jersey. And then when I got with the Rangers, and I think one of the first nights I went out with like Avery, I went out with Aves and like Brendan Shanahan, and we're talking, it's a different level. It was a different level because now you're a New York Ranger. And all the hot spots, anything, you're right in. And but at that point, I can understand where if you're a young kid and you get caught up in that, it's a kiss of death. At that time, I was already 27. I've already done this, been there. Mm-hmm. Nothing was going to, you know, I'd
phase you.
And I was always one of those guys that, you know, I'd rather hang out with the guy, whether it's we go to a bar, at a jukebox, or I wanted to be with the boys. I wanted, because back then, you know, 20 guys, or we had nights like that, but 20 people ain't getting in at certain some of these hotspots. But I was one of those guys, been there, done that. Hey, I want to be with the guys, and I've always been that way.
Yeah, no, that's definitely cool, and it's definitely your reputation precedes you. It sounds like, because everyone that talks about you obviously says like you're one of the coolest guys to ever play the game, which we're seeing
Johnny's
that right now for Sam. But
he's sucking up to you.
No,
man.
I'm not sucking up. No, I'm not
that.
Sucking up.
It was more like anything. It was. Anything I ever tell the young guy, anything I ever told you guys, and you know, like I said, it was passed down to me. It was, you know, it's not coming from me. This is how he works. And that was another thing, you know, growing up with the Devils, it was, as everyone thought it was so strict. And we all laugh about that. We're like, we had probably more fun than most teams, but we just couldn't get caught. So think about, you know, but at the same time, we also had a guy. We had guys like Scotty Stevens, Bobby Holik, Scotty. Like, there was one rule. There was only one rule. You could do whatever you want. And guys were out every night. But when it comes to practice and fucking number four steps on the ice and he, you know, he had been out, whatever. It is. Hey, you learn. Like, our practices in New Jersey, and you always say that we're 10 times harder than games because the competition level and when the top guy is the hardest working guy, there wasn't, you know, There was no fooling around. You get on the ice, you're allowed to do whatever you want. Whether I got 7 hours of sleep or 2 hours of sleep, once you stepped on that ice, and that was all that anyone judged with the Devils, and that's why we had so much success, was because games were easy. It was practices that were the most competitive things ever that I've ever witnessed.
That's something I also love asking, like, former players as well. I mean, you know, the time right now, the era of the NHL right now, everything's recorded. Guys are going out. They're constantly being filmed by anyone who's at that bar. Yeah. Like you obviously must be a guy who's super thrilled that you didn't grow up in that era, because, you know, no, you're a guy who, like...
It's the phones changed everything.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like...
Yeah.
It wasn't like... And like I said, I grew up with a great group of guys where it wasn't like... You're not going to get in trouble. You had too much respect for the guys. The guys that I was out with, they're looking out for you. I mean, you know, it wasn't that. But once the phones really got in and the cameras and it changed everything. It was, you know, but also, you know, if you were going to go out and, let's say, try to meet a young lady, you had to spend the whole night. You had to spend the whole night working, where some of these little pricks, when they came in the league, there was all those sites already that they, you know. Uh-huh. So it was different, but the phones definitely changed everything. It changed everything. But, and also saying that, I was already well aware. I was already, you're already on edge. You were, and like Doug Gilmore was my idol, and I got to meet him. The guy surprised me. We're in Chicago, flying in, Randy McKay, they're like, don't make plans tonight. And I'm like, fuck, it's Chicago. Like, my first time in Chi-Town, I had a bunch of buddies my age that were going to college there. I was like, man, I'm going to go out with these guys. And I remember they were like, nope, you're not going out. You're coming with us. And back then you had no say. All right. And I'm like, where are we going? And it was the trainer, Scott Niedermeyer, Lyle Oderline, Randy McKay. And I'm like, why the hell is Needs here? Like, Scott Niedermeyer didn't even drink. I'm like, this is kind of weird. But we went, they surprised me, and they took me to Doug Gilmore's house. We had a couple of beers with Doug Gilmore, and then we all went out to dinner. And like, cause all I would do was brag about Doug Gilmore and how, like, and so awesome. Yeah. So yeah, once the cameras and all that, the phones came, I mean, it was a different ballgame. It changed everything.
Yeah. So I have to ask, you played for two of the greatest goalies of all time in you know, Hank and Marty. I mean, how great was that? And Price, yeah. But I mean, how great was that for you, knowing each night, like, you guys were always in such a good position to win solely on the tending?
Well, you don't realize it until I remember I was at the World Cup or the Olympics. I think it was more of the Olympics. And I think we were on a power play. And they scored a shorthanded goal from, like, the blue line. And I wasn't on the – my unit wasn't out, and I was just like, what the fuck? And I remember Doug Wade, I think Billy Guerin, because we were on a unit together, and I forgot who else. They looked at me and like, hey, welcome to the real world, meaning I've been so spoiled with Marty that never happened. Like, you know, so it's hard for me to answer that because that's all I knew. Like, growing up with Marty, and at the same time, if you look at our – there was times where, like, teams – if teams got 20 shots on us, that was a big deal.
Right.
But in saying that, people would be like, well, how good is Brodeur? Dude, this guy was so good that, I mean, they changed the rules for him. Mm-hmm. He was an extra D-man. You couldn't even dump the puck in. And this is coming from other guys that I played with. And they're like, Gomer, you don't understand, our game report was, you know, most teams, hey, dump it in, get it going. Against the Devils, it was like, try to get it by the hash mark. Even if you don't get it saw enough, he's just going to come out. And so, and Marty was one of the hardest working guys in practice. And like, but Marty was like, I also got spoiled in the fact that Marty was, he wasn't a goalie, like, meaning we all joked around all the time during the game, before the game. Marty was one of the guys where you hear stories about, like, Patrick Waugh and other guys, Ed Belfour, and like, you couldn't even look at these guys during game day, where if you messed up on the ice, gave a pizza, something happened, did something, and they score. Or even if they didn't, you know, you're going up to Marty and be like, I'm sorry. And he's like, hey, relax. You know,
yeah.
He was, so I grew up with that. Hank was a little more intense, where, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you start, it all starts with the goaltending. When you know you have a goaltender out there that it makes your job even easier knowing that, like, okay, if someone does mess up, this is his job. So I did get spoiled with those three guys, like, and they were all good guys. So yeah, that also helps. And that's the thing about our game. It doesn't matter how you are. It's about anything in life. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be the biggest prick. You can do whatever as long as you back it up. That's all that matters. But with those goaltenders, they did their job. So that was it was the least worry you ever had going into the game was worrying about those guys.
MSG in the Garden loved to give it to him. Like, I'm convinced that goalie chant, like, started with Marty, you know? So, like, playing with the Devils and being on the other side of it, did Marty ever say, like, dude, they just won't fucking stop? And then when you were on the Rangers, was it like, oh, this is fucking awesome?
No, because here's what sucked. I grew up, that's all you did was watch hockey. And Mike Peluso went to college in Alaska. So Peluso was like a god to us. So he's on the Devils. You guys are too young, but when Jersey and New York were playing, it was some of the best hockey. 1994, it changed our game. That series, even, you know, but it was prime time. It was unreal. Well, that's all you dreamt about, playing, you know, Devils Rangers. I think my first 3 years, we beat the Rangers never beat us.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a rivalry. We're like, and stuff like that. They're chanting Marty. Well, there's 18,000, 19,000 people yelling your name. We fed off that.
Pretty cool.
Like, you know, you know what I mean? Like, you got to think about it. I didn't have that. I mean, yeah, I got booed in Montreal. That's a different story. But when the fans are chanting your name, how the hell? Yeah, hell yeah, you're pumped up about that. I'm sure Dennis Potvin still loves the fact that. You know, but we were still the stepchild. Like, we were still, you know, the Rangers got all the coverage, this and that, and we were 1,000 times better than them. So, but that's how dialed in. That guy had alligator blood, man. There was nothing bothering that guy. One time, there used to be a guy around the league that would send fight tapes. You know, this is before the DVDs even came out. Yeah. VHS. And this guy would somehow always get down. And this is every team. And he gets down to our team and he sends a Scott Stevens fight tape. That guy is an animal. That guy could have been heavyweight of the league no matter what. Like, he's that, whatever. And Scotty Stevens is in the Garden. And I think John Kordick, I don't know if the name's right, whatever, but he fought him in the Garden. And Scotty Stevens fought him left-handed and kept his glove on.
Oh, God.
And we're talking, this is a heavyweight. No one, and Scotty's in Washington. Scotty's with the Capitals. And we're all watching this tape. And we're like, holy, we all know, you know, Dad. We call him Dad. Like, we all, and Scotty's just whatever. And all the fans, he gets in the box. And, you know, back then, if you don't throw your gloves off, you're, you know, that's the number one sin, whatever.
Yeah.
So all the fans are yelling at Scotty, take your glove off. It was something crazy. Scotty Stevens is in the penalty box and he takes his glove off and he's got a cast. He has a broken hand.
Oh, shit.
He's got a broken hand and he's going around like this to the cart. It's going to, like, he fought the heavyweight of the NHL with one hand, left-handed. He didn't take his glove off because he had a – yeah. So that – and the fans, I think, gave him, like, a stand. And we're watching the tape. And Scotty's, you know, he didn't want to – he kind of was like, I don't need to see it. But at the same time, we're all just like, our tongues are out like, holy shit. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, guys, if they're chanting your name in the stands, you got to love it. Let's put it that way.
That's awesome. I just got one more for you, Gomer. You know, if you were in the league today, who's one guy you would just love to play with? And is there another guy who reminds you a little bit of, you know, a younger Gomez?
The thing is all these guys are so good. It's a different level now. I mean, for anyone these kids, the stick handlers, it's unreal. My favorite player, obviously I'd love to play with Austin Matthews because he's got Mexican descent and he's one of the best. But the guy I've always been a fan and the guys I've always thought was just, and maybe it's a U.S. thing, maybe it's whatever, but I've always thought, like, if even when I was coaching, helping out, like, if I was going to show someone any, information. It is Patrick Kane. Mm-hmm. His game. If you watch his game, it's just something that's the little things that guy does in the offensive zone. It's just, I can appreciate that. I mean, there's so much, like, you look at get a guy like Crosby. I mean,
right.
Like LeBron James is going to break the all-time scoring record,
yeah.
which is unbelievable to think about. But it's also like in our game, you look at these guys, like we were all at one point somewhat of a prodigy, let's say, in your hometown, mm-hmm. But for guys like Sidney Crosby, McDavid, other like Lindros Gretzky, I mean, there's a certain list of them that like I didn't grow up in Canada, so no one knew, but they're national prodigies as little kids.
Right.
Where our LeBron is Sidney Crosby. Where we all heard about, I mean, no, this before Lemieux and Gretzky, I wasn't there, but I'm saying for my era, and we all heard about this guy. Can he be that good? Could he be, you know, whatever it is. But to see Sidney Crosby and where he's come in his career, to be a fellow hockey player and to be a peer, you're like, hey, that's our LeBron. Like, yeah, that kid did it right. That's that, and he's still great. So who you want to play with? I think all these kids are great. I mean, they're just, you know, and it's like anything. You get put with certain guys, and everyone's like, oh my God, these two are going to tear it up. It doesn't work that way. It's the chemistry. It's how can you read? And that's what I think makes our game so special. But I mean, all these guys, put it this way, I'd love to be playing on a fourth line with whoever right now. I mean, you're still playing, but you know, these guys, hey, they're all great.
I will kiss your ass for 1 second. I don't know where Cody went. I think you just might have X'd out by accident or something. But I grew up, like, you know, watching Scotty Gomez in the power play, wheel behind the net, pick up the puck, and skate through everybody. Like, that's the Scotty Gomez, like, that I know, you know, in my day. And I see a lot of that in Matt Barzal today. I don't know if that's something you would consider as similar to you, but, like, just the way that you guys carried the puck and skated up the puck.
The problem with that little prick, and I love the kid.
Uh-huh.
Got to coach him 2 years. He's a friend. It's not, you know, he's a friend of mine in the center. I was coaching and with him, and you know, when he finally beat me for points.
What, rookie year?
Right. No, he beats me and he's like, I'm past you. And I was like, all right. But then I had to remind him, I'm like, I don't know if our numbers still add up. And he's like, what are you talking about, Gomer? I beat you the same. I'm like, I still had playoffs. You didn't have playoffs. The problem with Matt Barzal is he is so good.
So
this
sick.
This guy is so good. And I used to be on his ass, and he knows it's public. And he knows whatever. I used to be on his ass where I'm like, if you learn how to pass the puck, you'd be the only one. You'd be right up there. I'm not saying close to him or whatever, but you'd be like number two or battling McDavid for the scoring.
Yeah.
That's how good this kid is. When watching this kid, I mean, like I said, he's a friend. Watching him was like, but he was also one of those guys that like, he didn't want to beat the guy once. He wanted to beat the guy six times, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. you only need to beat the guy once and then move the puck. And that's a point, you know. But Barzal, oh, man, it was so fun to watch him day in and day out and, you know, getting to know him, not a mentor, but whatever. I mean, he still calls me when he's got his other issue problems. But to see that kid, that was something special where I remember seeing him. I remember grabbing him aside and I'm like, dude, you don't even know how good you are or how good you're going to be. Like, and yeah, I mean, and I love the kid. But he's someone that you pay to see.
He's fucking gross. I love watching him play.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if we've, like, while we're recording, shouted out Nate Thompson yet, but when Nate came on here, he did tell a story about how there was one face off like Rangers Islanders. And you told him like on the draw, like, dude, what are you doing? You're sick. Like, fucking fix your hands or something. And then you won the draw clean. Did you fuck around with a lot of guys?
No.
And you talk shit? Like, what was
approach
to the shit talk?
No, it was more of all right. So, you know, one thing about us coming from Alaska, we take care of our own. And mm-hmm. I was the older guy, and Nate, and one thing about us, we're all, you know, super proud of. I think Nate's like 5 years younger than me. Maybe a little bit, I don't know, whatever the age. So in the hockey world, that's like 10 years. So I didn't grow up with mm-hmm. these guys. But now we start skating in the summers. Believe it or not, Nate's one of those guys. Like, he was an offensive guy. He found his niche, Turner, defensive guy, played it. So now I'm so proud. Last guy, I'm with the Devils still, and I'm taking a face-off against Nate. And this is back when we're on the left side. My hands are like this, and Nate's got his hands like this. Yeah. And I said, switch your hands. Because because the power and everything, this the average of the physics, of, it's going to go like this. You're going to, this is your job. Like, we're taking a face-off. Like, this is your job. Go against me. Don't, like, I can see your hands forward. Face-off expert at all, but I've been in the league long enough for, you're going to face way harder guys than me. Do not do it like this. I was like, switch your hands. You got to learn, you know, and it's just, Nate did, he did. And it just so happened I beat him. So, but at the same time, you can ask him, it wasn't even that. I was giving him advice.
Yeah.
We're legit, like, dude, you know, it's strength. You're going against men now. Like, it's strength and strength. It's not juniors. I know what you're trying to do, but I can read what you're doing. Like, yeah, no, I would never. The only time me and Joe Thornton known each other since we were like 11, played against each other. And Jumbo, we were never on the ice together because, you know, the top defensive guys are going against him. I wasn't out there. But me and Jumbo are on the ice because we're visiting. So they're throwing their line against our line, me, Eliash, and we're. And me and Jumbo were like, all right, we'll just switch every face off. You win this one, I'll win that one. No word of a lie. So now it gets
that's amazing.
I think it's like 2-2. We have an offensive face off. And, you know, it was like 3 minutes to go.
It's your turn.
It's my turn. My turn. And Jumbo's like, mother, yeah. And he let me win it because that was our, it didn't, yeah. And so there was a lot, you know, but face offs, I mean, hey, Nate. 2 years later, I have probably no chance against Nate Thompson in a faceoff. And it had nothing to do with me, but that's how good he got. But yeah, I wasn't like, now would I have said that to someone else if I knew them? Yeah, probably. But no, I would never say that. I want to win it. But it was Nate. It was a fellow Alaskan. And I'm like, and like I said, we don't know each other that well at that point. And I'm like, hey, turn your stick over. Like, and then after the game, even though I did beat him cleanly, that's the best part. Like,
that's what he said. After the game,
we met up after, and I was like, I explained to him, I was like, hey, I wasn't doing like you got it. Don't, you know, you're not there yet. Like when you got older, then you can go with your forehand. You're a rookie. You're going against, you're going to like stick with this. It's still the odds of that. And yeah, I mean, that's, I'd be an asshole if I didn't tell that to a fellow Alaskan.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, I know we've been going here for a pretty long time. I just got like one last one or
I told you guys, probably, you got as long as you want, whatever.
Cody, man. You good on time?
No, I got to jump in a minute, but you can ask your last one.
Okay. I just wanted to know, like you said, you always dreamed about playing in New York when you were a kid, watching Friends, watching TV, movies. You know, you were infatuated by New York City.
Yeah.
Was there one moment where you're like skating around in warm up or, you know, even in the playoffs where you're like, holy fuck, like this is just even more than I ever could have imagined.
What it's like for anyone, the dumbest question you ever got from people was like, is the Garden ice that bad?
Yeah.
And you're like, motherfucker, have you ever played in Madison Square Garden? It doesn't matter if it's snow on there. You're playing at the Garden. The lights, it's a mecca of the world. It's capital. And so always playing in MSG was a big deal for everyone. Like it always was. And then when I was a Ranger, it's still, but when playoffs, and that's the best part of it, you know, that's the only part, it's playoffs. And to play those first, you know, to play my first couple games in New York in playoffs, it was wow. Like, the crowd, the fan, I mean, it was, you know, not taking nothing away from any other team I played for in playoffs, but the Garden, I mean, I do remember like playoffs, it was a different thing. I mean, just, it's something you'll never forget. It's something you always take pride in. But yeah, to play in the Garden and to play in MSG during playoffs, I mean, just warm-ups. Like, warm-ups are the greatest thing about hockey.
The best.
It really is. It really is. Even as a kid, when you got to go to an NHL game and you
music's
got
bumping.
You know, most people, oh, the game doesn't start to this. You want to see warm-ups because you're seeing guys, you know, it's a time you're just, you're messing around with other guy. Everyone's got their own routine, but it's just, you know, guys, your helmets are, yeah, warm-ups where it's at.
That's all I wanted to do. I never like, you know, I obviously dreamed of playing in the NHL, but all I wanted to do was take warm up at the Garden. Like,
that's all. It is a special thing. Well, any NHL rink, but any NHL rink, it's all great. But in saying that, it's still MSG, man. The lights are still different. The lights are still different. Everything about that. I mean, you know, even walking to the rink, walking to go on the ice, there's just big posters and, you know, frame pictures of how many rock stars, how many people have, you know, yeah, it's the Mecca. It definitely is. It'll always be. You still walk in there. You know, I don't go to hockey. I don't go to game. Knicks game, same thing. It's the same thing. The lighting's different. It's MSG.
Okay. I promise this is the last one. I know.
Right, I got a job. Love you, Scotty. You're the man. Thank you.
Good host you are. Fuck.
That's epic. Obviously, you're a guy that can talk shit, shoot the shit. Was there any player that ever like rattled you or like kind of got you, you know, a little bit of wires crossed?
Yeah, and it's funny because at this point, no, you know, if you're gonna talk shit, you gotta. And I grew up, I grew up with Hall of Famers that like talking shit, like, you know, Jim McKenzie ran the room, and you know, to go against him to start BSing and whatever. So on the ice, yeah, but I do remember Max LaPerriere. And he's a good friend of mine. But Lappy was a guy that, like, oh, my God. Like dude, this guy doesn't shut up. Like, you know, and you don't even know if he knows English at this point. But it was one of those, like, yeah, he, you know, yeah, Lappy was good. Lappy could get under guys. Otter, Steve Ott, he's a great friend of mine now. And it's funny because it's like anything. No one understands, like, the most people you hate when you're playing against them, those are the best teammates when you finally get to play with them or get like those. Yeah. But Otter was good. Otter was good. Otter could say shit. And, you know, for some odd reason, it would get, you know, it just was nonstop. And, you know, Aves, I saw it firsthand. Aves got under a lot of people's skin and, you know, he's your teammate now. And you're like, God, just, you know, you're almost like to him, like, shut up, dude. Like, but I mean, yeah, there was guys that and most guys that were like that, they'd drop the gloves in a second. So unless you're going to really stand up for yourself, and which never happened, but most of the guys that were good at back then that could tell, they could drop the gloves with a heartbeat with them. And so that's why they got away with a lot of it.
And do you think that's like non-existent in today's game anymore? Because
the only thing is like, it's like when Wilson hit, I forgot it was a rain. I was at my golf court. Whatever, I forgot where I was at. And everyone's like, wow, that was a huge brawl, whatever. Back in the day when there was when something happened, everyone dropped their gloves. Yeah. And it wasn't that you were going to fight. It was like, I got to grab on to someone. Like, I have to grab on. Like, you know, I don't know if this guy's going to try to swim. So, yeah, it's changed. I mean, is it for the better? The game is better than anything it's ever been, the skill in these guys. But, you know, let's face it, people still loved coming to the game. And, you know, it's different. Like, you know, when Ty Domi was on the ice, he's policing. You know. When you had these guys, Jim McKenzie, is different. It's a different game. I think you get away with a lot more today. Just the fact that you're not going to have to deal with the consequences. Like back when I played in the beginning, you know, half my career, like, yeah, certain guys on the ice, yeah, you're not talking anymore. You're kind of, you know, he's out there for a reason. And yeah, that got away. But is it good? Is it bad? Who knows? I mean, you know, fans still love a good fight. Everyone does. But at the same time, I mean, you know, who's to say? I mean, it's offense now. It's goals. Mm-hmm. It's skill. I mean, you're never going to have it, you know, it's always going to be half full, half empty. Like it's whether you like it or not.
And even then, like, I actually do remember, I think it was like you and Lemieux against Leach and Tim Taylor, like Rangers Devils, right? Like Brian Leach was a guy who was like, well, a Norris Trophy winning defenseman. Like,
well, here's my first.
And I promise I'll let you go after this. I just, you know, that just came to my head.
Like I said, kiddo, fuck, don't, I'll go when I want to go, put it that way. It's your show.
You interview me after.
I mean, no one would watch. What the fuck would I want to interview you for? What would I say to you? Hey, why did you wear that orange sweater? Like, or whatever. Like,
it's red. It's like salmon.
Whatever. So my first Ranger Devils game, we're playing at the Continental in Jersey, ESPN game, big night. It's, you know, it's, and I got in trouble. That morning skate. First time against the Rangers. I'm on the team. I'm doing well. So, you know, I kind of got my swag going.
Yeah, you're feeling yourself. Yeah.
I grabbed the puck. It's after pregame skate. So there's only, I don't know how many guys are still on the ice. And us growing up, one of the biggest calls ever was by Gary Thorne, was like, Mark Messier said he would get a hat trick, or said they would win the game. He has now picked up the hat trick.
John McClain center for the empty net. Mark Messier, do you believe it? Do you believe it? He said we will win game six. He has just picked up the hat trick.
And me being that dumb back then, I grabbed the puck and I start saying it. He has now said they won the game. He has now picked up the hat trick. And I started shooting the puck where Messier was at, trying to hit the empty net. And I missed it like three times. So I had to say it, you know, the fourth. And Randy McKay grabbed me, took me over to the boards, basically pinned me up. It was like, don't you ever fucking say that again. And I'm like, and it's Randy McKay. And I'm like, and he's like, I was there. They lost that game. Right?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah.
They lost. And I'm like, oh shit. Until you get older and you realize like the losses. And I'm like, oh man. But that's all we ever did as a kid. He now said you know, we'd all just do that. And so I'm doing it actually in the rink that it happened. Randy McKay. So we play the Devils play the Rangers that night. And, I'm telling the guys, I'm like, I played in the WHL. You have to be tough. I'm like, I'm tough. And every guy knows I'm fucking not. But I'm like, I'm tough. So anyway, if you watch the video, me and Tim Taylor, we kind of hit each other as a scrum. Leachy's in there. Now, Brian Leach, sorry. I'm a U.S. hockey player. I ain't touching Brian Leach. Uh-huh. Even if I had a chance to rock Brian Leach, which his head was never down, I ain't touching Brian Leach. Like, that's how big an idol this guy is to me. No way. And then I got to meet him. He's the best. But anyway, I ain't touching Brian Leach. But Leachy gets in a scrum with Lemieux in the front. Tim Taylor grabs me, and I start, you know, I'm all wired up.
Yeah.
And me and Tim Taylor, he drops the gloves. And I'm like, oh my God, like, shit. Yeah. So I drop mine, and Tim Taylor's got me. You know, he's got me. And I'm sitting there like, and next thing you notice, for some odd reason, oh my God, like I just start pumping him. Like, just if you want, I mean, fans are going crazy. I'm beating the fuck out of this guy. And so, you know, we get separated. You know, you do the elbow thing right away, you're going to the box. Yeah. But the best part was there was only like 2 or 3 minutes left to go in the period. So I get taken off. And I'm in the locker room and I'm revved up. I can't wait for the guys to come in to let them know that, like, I told you I was tough, this and that.
Yeah.
And so the boys start walking in and they're all older. So a lot of them didn't know the movie Friday, or Who Wants Some of Devo? Yeah. Who Wants Some of Devo? It's one of the classic lines ever. You watch Ice Cube Friday, the movie Friday. And I'm like, who wants some of Devo? Who wants some of Devo? And I'm like walking around the room. I'm like, who? I told you. And the boys are just looking at me and everyone starts laughing. Everyone's laughing. And I'm like, the fuck are they laughing about? Like, they're not taking it serious. And so, of course, my corner was Bobby Hulley, Randy McKay. I go to Randy. Finally, I'm like, hey, why is everyone laughing? Like, I thought I just, you know, and he's like,
this is my moment.
Yeah. And he's like, you don't know what happened? And I'm like, no, and he's dying laughing. And I'm like, Randy, I told you I was tough. Didn't you just see what happened? Lyle Oderline came over to Tim Taylor and grabbed his arm. So this poor guy had one arm and it gave me enough. So I basically fought a guy with one arm and got him. Yeah. So, I mean, me and Tim Taylor laughed about that after, but it was one of those where I had to sit there in the room and be like, oh, like, yeah, you know, because here I thought I mopped the guy up, and I fought a guy with one arm, and it just So you know.
Well, you did beat the shit out of Kovalchuk. That was fair.
No. I don't think I ever beat a. I knocked the guy out in junior, and it was one of those Hail Mary left, and I hit him.
Really?
Yeah, but besides that, I never. Fighting was
not your thing. Yeah,
you learn. Well, you just learn. Like one of my first games against Darcy Tucker, he was talking so much shit, and me and him, he was still with Tampa, and me and him going at it, and we get penalties, and in the penalty box we are talking shit back and forth to each other, and I'm like, he goes, I'll meet you right there afterwards, and I'm like, I'll be there. Like I said, I'm new to the NHL. I'll prove anything. I ain't going anywhere. Like, you know, we're at the Continental. And he's like, and you know, I'm pretty good with my mouth. So I'm probably saying stuff that's pissing him off.
I can tell. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. And he goes, I'll be right there. You know, and I said, let's go. And as soon as we stepped on the ice, he's ready. Lyle Otterlein, thank God for Odie. Odie comes in. He fights Darcy Tucker in front of me, and Darcy Tucker holds his own against Lau Oderline, which is a killer. And yeah. I remember sitting there going, holy shit. Like, oh my God. Like, I would have got killed. Oh my God. Like, and so it's a life lesson. You learn right away, like, you're playing against men, man. You ain't, you know, but like one of the best fighting stories was, I think Mike Motto's with the one of my close friends. Mike Motto is with the Rangers, I think. And so a big mayhem starts out, and me and Motts grab each other. We're roommates at the World Juniors. We grab each other, and Motts goes, "Hey, let's make it look good. Let's make it look good." So me and Motts are just acting like we're. His Motts would kill me. Motts would beat me up in a second, but we are acting like we are, and Billy McCreary, one of the refs, comes up to us like, "Hey, knock it off." And we're like, "Hey, we're just joking." Like, and Billy goes, "Fuck off." And he just goes, he skates away. But yeah, but the fans in front of us, you know, the fans in front of us are just like, wow. Like, they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah.
We're acting like we're almost like biting each other. We're just acting like we're, and meanwhile, we're trying not to laugh. Like, but we're, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of and stuff people wouldn't know that goes on back in the day hey man, you're on the ice in the NHL. If you can't have a good time, you
nothing's
ain't doing
bad. Yeah. Like I think a lot of fans now, they just like, they take the game so seriously, and like, it just does not have to be that way.
Have. And that's good. And the whole point is, like, I remember talking to guys that played during the bubble, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I mean, what makes the game, what makes everything, is the fans.
The fans.
Like,
yeah.
And then we all grew up as kids, and we all get to a certain point where, like, me growing up in Alaska, I got lucky because we had to play for our high school team. You play with your regular team. After 2 months, you got to play for your high school, and now you're playing against your, and that's when all the student body, everyone's coming to games. It's the first time you're playing in front of people. Fans make the game. It is what it is. Whoever denies that, no one likes to play. It's the fans. That's why they're so special. I mean, you know, fans are what made us.
No, it's true. And, you know, before I do let you go, I guess, is there anything you want to talk about, like what you're currently doing, like anything you want to plug? I know you did, what was the YouTube show called? Scotty Goes.
Oh, that was Scotty Gomez. Yeah, that was a while ago. That was during the pandemic. I don't know if they'll come back. People kind of want them to come back.
I mean, you're a media star. Like, you got to be doing something, I feel like, right?
Nah, you know.
I've seen you on MSG before doing the betting show.
Yeah, you know, they asked me to come on. I'll do that. I'm involved with Elevate 02. It's, a company based at Tori Mitchell, Swaggy P. It's a company based out of Vermont. We build little rinks, smaller rinks for kids these days. It's a great product. It's a great that. And I'm also involved with Party Can, pre-made margaritas, Cosmopolitans, Old Fashions.
Yep.
But no, as far as that, just still trying to find the way, man. It's like you say to everyone, it's retired life. It's not what it's cracked up to be. Keep busy. It's the only advice you give to people. It's the game was great to me. It was great to me and my family. Like, got no complaints.
Well, thank you, Scotty.
You can tell how bored I am. I'm on your fucking show. Whatever this is. Wherever the other host had to go. Jesus Christ.
He hated you.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, Scotty, seriously, this was awesome, and thank you so much.
So wait, what did Bally say?
Well, I'm gonna end the recording, and I'll shoot the shit with you after.
Oh, okay. Well, that means I gotta stay on with you. What the fuck?
We want to thank Scotty Gomez once again for joining the show. I'm still laughing thinking about that interview. It was so fucking funny. We're not going to do a draft this week. We're just going to talk about the three games this week for the New York Rangers, kicking it off Wednesday in Vancouver, a 10 p.m. puck drop, Friday, a 9 p.m. puck drop in Edmonton, and then a back-to-back on Saturday in Calgary, a 10 p.m. puck drop there. Cody, let's go into the game against Vancouver. We just saw the Canucks in New York. What are your thoughts on that game on Wednesday night?
Yeah. Big thanks to Scotty, first of all. And then, you said it last week. I'm sticking with it this week. They better kick the shit out of the Canucks. I think it's got to be a convincing win. I don't care that they're away. I think they need to focus and just beat up on these bad teams. I think they will. So I'm going to go with 4-1 Rangers.
I agree. I like that a lot. And I think they're going to be very well rested. After playing, like we said, four games last week this past week. I like the 4-1 Rangers pick. I don't know what they're going to do about goalies this week. Obviously, Halak's been playing pretty well and has earned his time. And the more rest we can get Igor, the better. Halak played in Vancouver. I could see him getting this start on Wednesday. Which I don't mind, because I'd love to have, obviously, Igor start against Edmonton on Friday and have him be very well rested for that. I'm going to say 4-1. I like 4-1, honestly. I'm going to agree with you there. I like that.
Okay. I think Igor is starting Wednesday and Friday, and they'll have Halak start on Saturday.
That's probably a good prediction.
We played the Oilers already and lost, right?
Yeah, that was the 3-0 comeback. In the third period.
Right. And that was Halak, wasn't it? Wasn't Halak in? So I think they're going to want to give Igor. I think it was. I think Halak was in there.
I don't know. But all I know is I'm excited to see what Trouba does to Draisaitl after that that whole stick thing. You remember that when Draisaitl skated by Trouba and knocked the stick out of his hands when he went down the line?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if you're
That's going to be a fun fucking game.
What do you think? What's your thoughts on the Oilers game? Every single time we play them, it's a high scoring affair. Yeah. I don't anticipate that to change. I'm going 5-3 Rangers. I think we're going to get some revenge.
I was thinking 6-4 Oilers.
You think Eagles? I mean, I think that's 6 goals.
I think that's the game. Oilers. Well, it could be 5 with an empty netter. I think that's just the game where the Rangers, the winning streak kind of stops. I think Edmonton's been pretty good lately. McDavid, right. Especially, obviously. I'm going 6-4 Oilers there. And then Saturday night in Calgary. I like the Rangers odds. That's going to be a fun fucking game also after what we saw last week with the Rangers-Calgary game with Kadri and all that nonsense. So that'll be a fun one. That's a must watch. I'm going to say for that one, I'm going to go – I feel like it's going to be a little more low scoring. I'm going to say like 3-2. And I'll go Rangers in that one.
Okay. I like that score. I was actually thinking 2-1. But yeah. Let's stick with 2-1. I'm going to go Rangers as well. I'm going 3-0 this week. I think it's clear Oilers will obviously be their big test this week, but I do think they're going to have that shitty comeback loss on their mind. I do think they're going to have that on their mind, and this is a different team than that was. So, I think they're playing really, really, really good hockey, and I don't anticipate that to stop.
Yeah. No, it should be a fun week. A lot of fun games. Late night puck drops, so hopefully everyone stays up and watches. Want to wish everyone a happy early Valentine's Day. I'm sure Cody has something planned up his sleeve. I'll be in Minnesota. Nothing Valentine's Day wise for me.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm doing a lap with a member on the Wild for Bleacher Report.
You could just say Zuccarello. That'd be cool.
No, I don't know who it is yet, honestly. So stay tuned for that, people.
Nice. Yeah,
that's all I've got.
I hate the West Coast trips, dude, so much. They're the actual worst.
I don't mind it because I'm a late night guy. So, but that's gonna wrap it up for this week. We'll have another episode coming next week. As always, we love you guys, and Cody, send it off.
LFGR, baby.